What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. I feel like I'm really loud today, and I have no idea why, but maybe I'm hyped up. Maybe I'm excited. I'm ready for some hockey action this evening. Sunrise, Florida, the Emerant Bank Arena, the Florida Panthers trying to tie things up against the Boston Bruins. I'm in a much better mood today than I was yesterday. If you tuned in yesterday, hey, you always get the real me any day. Every time I'm here, you get the real me. Yesterday, I was down. Not to say I'm not going to be down when I'm talking about what may happen tonight, but right now, to begin the hour, I'm fired up because it's hockey night in South Florida on this Wednesday, May 8th. You talk about a big game. This is a monstrous game for the Florida Panthers. The Bruins have the 1-0 lead. The Panthers, it's not a must win. They don't have to win, but they gotta win. Like, you gotta win this game tonight. You're down 1-0. You do not want to go to Boston down 2-0. Not that the Panthers could not win this series if that did happen, but you do not want that to be the case. If you hear anybody today, whether it's at the arena, on television, radio, you're reading something on social media, you're watching something, and they say this is a must-win tonight for the Florida Panthers, explain to them what a must-win means. Must-win means if you lose, you're officially done. Now, if the Panthers do lose tonight, they're not officially done, but practically, I think, keyword think, they would be done. That's why they got to win tonight. Usually when this type of situation presents itself to a South Florida sports team, I compare it to Cold Stone Creamery. Great ice cream, not a sponsor, that's fine. I love ice cream though. I mean, you know, I love a good old
Slater's Scoop.
And they have the sizes. And I think the biggest size, I believe, I haven't been there in a long time, is gotta have it. And that's what tonight is for the Florida Panthers. Gotta have it. That building tonight, it should be rocking from the start. Hopefully it continues to rock throughout the game. And tonight, the best part is, this game, it starts after the Marlins game. The Marlins game is on now. So the Marlins game will be done by the time the Panthers game begins. So everybody who's at home watching the Miami Marlins, which is all of South Florida, of course, you're tuned into the Marlins. If you could still get Bally Sports Florida, or you're stealing it from somewhere, you're watching it on the app, everybody right now, you're tuned in to me, and at the same time, I know you're watching the world-class Miami Marlins. So you're going to get to watch that entire game, which will be over soon, even though it sort of just started. It'll be done, over with. You get in your car, you go to the arena, and you get to focus solely on the Florida Panthers. You think I'm kidding about that? Kind of, yeah. I mean, who's watching the Marlins game right now? I want to stay in a good mood, though. You know, that's why I'm sort of telling some jokes, being sarcastic. Hopefully you understand my sarcasm. Whether the Panthers win or lose tonight, the series is going to Boston. They play there Friday. They play there on Sunday, Mother's Day. We have seen the Panthers have success at TD Garden. We saw the Panthers play great there last year, but it's a tough ask to go there and beat the Bruins, and we know the Florida Panthers are going to have to do it at least once because they already lost game one at home. What else do we have going on besides hockey night in South Florida? The Miami Dolphins, they got their first rookie mini camp. That'll be coming up Friday. Football is inching closer and closer and closer. The schedule release, I know some of you are into that. You want to book a road trip, You want to go see the Dolphins on the road this season. You want to know the date they're going to be in a certain city so you can start making your plans, your reservations, and all of that. And then some of us play the schedule game. Okay, there's the schedule. Let's start marking down W's and L's. Has anyone played the schedule game in the NFL before and gotten everything correct? That would be putting together a 17-leg parlay on the money line and winning every single leg before you really know anything. Just seeing a schedule and boom, yeah, let me pick this. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. You just like playing the schedule game. So the schedule was supposed to come out tomorrow, but it's been pushed back a little bit. So it's going to be next week when the NFL schedule comes out. I'm not a huge schedule guy. I look at the schedule. I'm like, okay. And then I go on about my life. And right now, I'm in Medellin having a great time doing the show, following everything. I'll be back in South Florida on Friday, late Friday morning, I believe, or early Friday afternoon. I'm taking the day off on Friday. I'll react to the Panthers game from tonight, tomorrow, and then I'm off Friday. Kind of like a long weekend. I'm going to play in a poker tournament. I've got my poker tournament coming up where I hope to see you guys in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. That's less than a week away, next Tuesday night, May 14th. Come on out there. It's a great time. Plus, there's a lot of money in the prize pool, minimum $20,000. And it's only $250 to buy in. I might as well tell you all about it right now. I get first place, you fight for second, and we all have a great time. Really, I hope to see you guys out there Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, May 14th. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. If you can't get there by 6, it's okay, as long as you get there by 9:30 p.m. You got 3.5 hours to register for the tournament. You'll be able to get in, and I'll be able to take your chip. Second place pays a lot of money. Maybe that should be the new name of the tournament. Instead of the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, it'll be the Second Place Pays a Lot Poker Tournament, because I always plan on taking first. It's a good thing I got poker in my life and the Florida Panthers, because the Heat are done. The Marlins, they're playing, but they're really not. They're a complete disaster. And I hope the Panthers have one heck of a run in them. And I hope that run begins this evening. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting around here just waiting for a football season. And I don't want to have to wait for football season until the middle of next month. Just like last year, 2023 was fantastic for us sports-wise. I don't have to go down the list. We already know everything we had going on. It was great. I was flying all over the place. I was watching all these games, going to all these games. You guys were into games every single night. It was exciting to talk about here on the airwaves. There was nothing negative going on. And now, look what we've got. We've got the Florida Panthers. They are our only hope right now. Unless you're into soccer, football with a U, and you're into Inter Miami CF and Lionel Messi, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not a huge soccer fan. I'm not even an okay soccer fan. I'm just not a soccer fan. I watch some Inter Miami, but I'm not going to pretend and get into it and come on here and start talking all about Inter Miami. If they're the only thing left, then I'll probably pay more attention. But right now, my eyes, they're on the Panthers. I do watch baseball, but what are we going to see with the Marlins? We'll see more trades. That'll certainly be happening. And who knows when? It could be soon. You trade Luis Arraez in early May. That means everyone is up for grabs as early as Peter Bendix can get some sort of deal where, in return, you get back prospects who were meh. But let's take them, because they're not going to cost us any money. And there's a mandate. I hope I have more exciting news here on this show. I love talking hockey. I love talking sports. Of course, that's why I'm here. The Panthers better win tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow I'm going to need like 3 Monster Energy drinks. It's going to be tough to do a show tomorrow if the Panthers lose tonight. Florida Panthers got to come through tonight. They got to come through tonight. Please come through tonight. Win this game tonight. Beat the Boston Bruins tonight. Go to TD Garden with this series tied at 1. Don't go to Boston down 2-0. Please don't. Not just for my sake, but for all of us in South Florida. We need you, Florida Panthers. We need you desperately to win this game tonight. Now, of course, if they lost tonight and won Game 3 in Boston, we're still okay. But I don't want to be talking about that situation tomorrow. Forget about tomorrow, though. We got today. We got this hour. And I got a lot of notes in front of me. I was having breakfast this morning. I had 3 cups of coffee this morning. I mean, I know it's the early afternoon now, but I did get my day started a little bit late today. I didn't have coffee until like 11 a.m. 3 cups of coffee. Can you tell? They were great coffees. And next to me, just incredible views. Girls. Talking about the mountains and the buildings. No, I'm not. Absolutely incredible views. Like, my gosh. The scrambled eggs, the bacon. Love that bacon. Anyhow, when I was at breakfast this morning having my 3 coffees and enjoying those incredible views next to me, girls. I was thinking about more things I could say on the show today besides just hoping and wishing and borderline praying, borderline because not really, that the Panthers win tonight. And I did jot down, not with a pen and paper, because I don't use pen and paper a whole lot, although I do sometimes. I've got my laptop in front of me almost always and my phone, of course, and I'm just writing down some things, typing things. Things I don't want to forget that I want to get into this hour. So I will. I got many things to say. But you guys know by now how it works. I can't say anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Let me reiterate something. Tonight for the Florida Panthers, it is not, N-O-T, not a must-win game. I don't say that meaning, hey, yeah, you can lose, no worries. I just only believe elimination games are must-win games. If the Panthers were down 3-0 going into tonight, well, tonight would be a must-win game. If the Florida Panthers lose tonight, I would come in here tomorrow and probably feel like their season would be over.
Over? Did you say over?
But there is theoretically a way where the Panthers could lose tonight and still figure out a way to win the series. It's unlikely, but it could definitely happen. That's why tonight's not a must win. You want to win, though. You got to have this win tonight, but it's not a must win. The big question is, what do we make of Game 1? That's essentially what we've got to figure out. Do you look at Game 1 and say the Panthers had a week off, they were rusty, Boston was still flying high from their Game 7 win over Toronto, so you had one team that was fired up, and the other team, they were trying to like get fired up, and they couldn't because they were rusty and they had a week off. And that would be the Florida Panthers. That is one theory. As I was saying yesterday, though, I don't believe in that theory because the Panthers came out and they were fine. And they had the lead. Everything was looking pretty good. And then it all fell apart. So I don't think it's theory number one. But if you want to go with theory one, that's completely up to you. Another theory I've got is the revenge factor. And there could be an element of, hey, the Panthers were the 8th seed last season. They were down 3-1 in the series against Boston, and they managed to win it. And they won it at the TD Garden. They shocked the Bruins and knocked them out. And the theory is, ever since that happened, Boston has been on a mission. And that mission, the target, is to take down the Florida Panthers. And what we're seeing from Boston is cold, it's calculated, it's payback. And the Bruins are simply more motivated to win this series because they got a bone to pick with these Florida Panthers. And now we're seeing it manifest itself. That's a second theory. And I would go more with theory two than theory number one. But there's not only two theories here. There's a third. And the third is the scariest theory of them all. If you are a Florida Panthers fan, and if you're a Boston Bruins fan, maybe you're tuned into South Florida radio right now because you just want to get the reaction and the preview and what we're talking about going into tonight's game. I get it. The scariest theory of all, it's running into a hot goaltender. And right now, Jeremy Swayman for the Boston Bruins is hot. He seems to be right on top of his game. And not only is Swayman hot, you can put this along with the scary third theory. The Florida Panthers, they simply might have a really bad matchup here with the Boston Bruins. You could put that in a theory of its own. You could call that theory four. I don't have to put it with theory three. Three is the scariest of all because if you're going up against a hot goalie, forget it. You're just not going to win. But theory four, a bad matchup for this Florida Panthers team, you can get over that, but it's very difficult, especially if you tie it with theory three. Four and three together, oh, forget about it. That probably wouldn't even pay even money. Boston was 4-0 against Florida in the regular season. They came into Emerant Bank Arena Game 1 and beat up the Panthers 5-1. Halfway through the second period, forget about it. Boston took complete control. So with the regular season and the playoff game so far, 5-0, the Bruins against Florida. And on top of that, the Panthers have not scored a power play goal in any of the games against Boston. Not one. Do you know what kind of freedom that gives to Boston players? Knowing that even if the Panthers get on the power play, the way they have dominated Florida, the Bruins penalty kill against the Panthers power play, okay, so they take a penalty. You never want to take a penalty, but if they do take one, right now the Bruins are probably like,
who cares?
All right, we'll just kill it. We'll just ice the puck, but it's not icing on a power play, but it's the same thing. Just put the puck down the ice and we're good to go. They can't score on us on the power play. So to be clear, there's four theories you could use for what you saw in game one. The first theory, the Panthers were rusty. I don't like that theory. The second theory, the Bruins are out for revenge. Certainly possible. Probable. Theory three, Swayman is the hot goaltender, and you're not going to get past a hot goalie come playoff time. Theory four, the Bruins are a bad matchup for the Florida Panthers. If theory four is right, if it's just a bad matchup, this is a 4 or 5-game series. If it's theory three and four, bad matchup and hot goalie, then forget about it. I mean, five would be generous. If it's theory three or four, we're going to be breaking down Jazz Chisholm Jr. at-bats in about a week from now, which I hope is not the case. The best case would be theory one, which I don't think is the case, but if theory one is true and the Panthers were just rusty, maybe they didn't have their legs in them the second half of the game because they had all that time off, that would be fantastic because, okay, now you're ready. Game two tonight, you played Monday, it's Wednesday now, you broke down all the video, you had your meetings, let's go, let's make this a series. Theory one would be fantastic. If it's the second theory and Boston's just extremely motivated here and they're out for revenge, which would give them an edge, well, there's only one person who can fix that. That's Paul Maurice. That's the head coach's job. It's Paul Maurice's job to motivate his team. It's his responsibility to make sure his guys are not going to be outworked. So if Paul Maurice watches that video, which I'm sure he did many times, and he's thinking to himself, they just look like they want it more than us. Well, that's literally his job as the head coach to change that. If puck luck comes around, a bad bounce, people can live with that. But for a team simply to be more motivated for a series at this level, that is not okay, and the head coach needs to fix that. Listening to Paul Maurice speak yesterday and this morning, it seems to me he's well aware of that. He talked about what he saw in game one, and he made it a point and will continue to make it a point before tonight's game to his players that there's a couple of things they need to do a lot better. And it looked to me and it felt to me what he's referring to is being more aggressive, looking like you want it just as much as they do. Now, if this is just a bad matchup and Boston has the Panthers number and Swayman's going to be the hot goaltender and Bob isn't going to be playing at his highest level, well, then forget about it. What are you going to do? Remember, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. So when I tell you I don't buy the rust theory, the whole rust idea, it's the truth. I don't buy that. The Panthers need to be more physical. Resting for a week is a big advantage. And I do believe in Paul Maurice. I think Paul Maurice has done a really good job. The Panthers, they're also on a mission. It's not just Boston. They don't want revenge against the Bruins, but I think they made it clear all season long that they're upset they didn't win the cup. Getting there was not enough. They want more. Boston is just the next obstacle for the Florida Panthers' mission. And I'm scared about tonight because I don't buy theory one. I've said it about four times now. I want to make it clear. Boston has owned the Panthers all season long, and they got the hot goalie. And that's very hard to defeat. It's like impossible to defeat. I want to be wrong so bad. I want Swayman to give up goals tonight and the Panthers win tonight and they go to Boston 1-1. Trust me, I want that to happen. The New York Rangers were up 2-0 in their series against Carolina. I would love for the Eastern Conference Final to be Panthers-Rangers. Panthers-Rangers and Sunrise, Panthers-Rangers at the Garden. Oh, my goodness. Would that be amazing? I would be at Madison Square Garden in a second. That would be once in a lifetime stuff. I want that badly. And what you may want badly is what you've seen in your neighborhood, one of those really cool golf carts. If you've thought about getting one, you've got to go see Cliggy from Cliggy's Carts. I say golf cart, but Cliggy's Carts are so much more than a golf cart. Cliggy's Carts are all aluminum. And not only does Cliggy have 48-volt carts, he's got 72-volt street-legal carts. You'll get a VIN number, a license plate. Beware of Lieutenant Camacho, though, from the Florida Highway Patrol on that golf cart because it's not really just a golf cart. You get the whole deal. And Cliggy is also an exclusive Royal EV dealer. If you want to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Kliggy's Carts. Go ahead and Google Kliggy's Carts. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and that's Kliggy with a K. You can also go test drive one of the carts for yourself. Instead of asking your neighbor, hey, can I hop on and drive, just go to Kliggy's Carts. They're located at 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach, and right now Kliggy will give you a $2,000 rebate off of your cart. If you are going to get a cart, you want to get it from Kliggy's Carts. This matchup, if you couldn't tell, the Panthers and Bruins, it's got me concerned. And if it plays out tonight where the Panthers are down 2-0, that would mean they're 0-6 on the season against Boston. And they'd have to go to their building, the TD Garden, for games 3 and 4. The odds of the Panthers winning 4 out of the last 5 games and at least 2 at the TD Garden, that would be extremely difficult. That's why tonight's game is so important. Not a must win, but it is so important. We need to see the Florida Panthers jump out to a lead tonight, just like they did in game 1. But it's got to hold up, and they got to pour it on the Bruins if they're able to. The only reason they won't be able to, if they can't, is because of Jeremy Swayman. I have a lot of fear that he's the hot goaltender. I can't say it enough. I think this game will be tense very early. The Panthers, they have a lot to lose, so they got to get something done early in this contest, get that goal, and not only one, but get another. Put a lot of pressure on Swayman. Get people in front of the net. Let the Panthers have a lead where their players can exhale for a little bit. Play like themselves. Not have so much pressure on them. Because if the Panthers fall behind, the players know what's at stake here. They understand what happens if they lose tonight. If they fall behind, the pressure just mounts and mounts, and Boston's confidence grows and grows. Then Florida will start pressing, and they won't be themselves. So the goal tonight should be settle down, play like you've played all season long, get in front of that net, get those pucks by Swayman, and build confidence. Be yourselves. If the Panthers can do that, they will win game 2. They are good enough to win tonight. They're good enough to win this series. This is a team that's good enough to beat anyone in the league. It just may happen where they're facing a team that they do not match up well against. And I think tonight is the night we will absolutely find out the answer, whether that's true or not. Because they haven't beaten Boston all season long. They're 0-5 against them, and they have not scored one goal on the power play against the Bruins. I believe the Panthers have strong leadership. They went to the Stanley Cup final last year. They don't lack leadership at all. They've been in this type of predicament before. They've played big games before. They've dealt with playoff pressure before. This is not new to them. And they've got to show tonight that they can win this series. They've got Barkov, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Reinhardt, Bob. They got vets. These players have won a lot of important games. Hopefully all the narratives and the storylines they'll be finished with after tonight. And I hope Aaron Ekblad plays better tonight, because he was horrible in game 1. Otherwise, he may be finished in this series. I chuckle, but if he plays like he did in game 1, that would be one heck of a benching. But like, how much ice time do you give him in game 3? You don't have a lot of leeway there. I doubt he would be benched, but if he goes on the ice tonight and plays exactly like he did in game 1, something has got to be done there. Paul Maurice knows, and he's acknowledged that Aaron Ekblad had a horrendous game 1. I wish I could talk about game 1 or game 2 with the Miami Heat, but the only thing Heat-related is Pat Riley and Jimmy Butler. And that conversation continues, and it will right here on the show as well in just a moment. Racing continues at Gulfstream Park. The Royal Palm Meet is going on right now at Gulfstream Park. Live racing 4 days a week, Thursday through Sunday. Exciting racing action in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. I love going to Gulfstream Park. And when I do, I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms, sit down at a table, have a fantastic meal, watch the races live right in front of me. And, of course, you know me, I wager on them. And you don't even have to wager a whole lot. You could bet 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Live racing every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's four opportunities a week to get on out to Gulfstream Park during the Royal Palm Meet. Enjoy yourself, have a great meal, and watch the racing live in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. The Jimmy Butler conversation continues. It's funny, I was thinking about this yesterday. I thought we were going to spend the next 3 months asking the following question. That question would be, should the Miami Dolphins give Tua a long-term contract? A slow day here, I could literally say Tua and talk for hours and hours, and people love it. It's that easy. But then here comes Jimmy, the superstar in town. Takes the Miami Heat to the NBA Finals twice. He basically carried the team. Playoff Jimmy. And now the Miami Heat have a decision to make about it. He's under contract for one more year, but he wants a max extension, and he wants it now. This is going to be a great debate amongst fans. Do they sign him or do they not? Is Jimmy worth the trouble of missing regular season games, calling out sick the night after being at a tennis match? Jimmy's going to be 35 years old. He was just injured. He missed the playoffs. He's not getting younger. None of us are. And he is asking for a huge paycheck, just like all of us do. The Jimmy question is going to be just as hot of a topic as the Tua question, which tells you a little bit about how much people love the Miami Heat in South Florida. A very interesting predicament. There is going to be movement around the league. Cleveland will be knocked out. We saw them get smoked by Boston. So the Donovan Mitchell to the Heat talk will start. The Suns are out. The KD rumors are already flying. So buckle up, Heat fans. You should be buckled up right now. Lieutenant Camacho is joining me in a minute. He'll always tell you that. Just like I always tell you about the Bagel loan. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want the Bagel loan. And Stewie has got the Bagel loan for you. What is the Bagel loan? When you look at a bagel, there's a big zero in the middle of it. And that is what you will pay Stewie. Zero. Nothing. No lender fees. No appraisal fees. It is the Bagel loan. And that is what Stewie has for you right now. What I have is Stewie's personal cell phone number. Call Stewie. Tell him you're interested in the Bagel loan. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, the Bagel loan means you pay zero. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. Get a hold of Stewie today. MLS number 226715. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, I saw a lot of Florida Highway Patrol troopers near Hard Rock Stadium this past weekend. F1 in town. I know you guys are heavily involved. How would you compare your involvement and what you saw personally with F1 to when the Super Bowl's in town?
Andy, it's been it's just so many people come into town. It's an international event. I think that's the biggest difference, right? The F1 is an international thing. So you have so much more people coming in, and if I can compare it to the Super Bowl, I would tell you F1 just it's so much busier. It's a 3-day thing, so there's more days involved in it. There's much more people coming in for it. Our footprint there, as far as security and traffic control, along with many of our other partner agencies, is just that much more. There's so much more of a demand for it, and it's because of the volume of people that come in. The crowd that comes in, right? A lot of celebrities, a lot of VIP guests coming to see this. And it is the same for Super Bowl. But I would say just overall, F1 is, from our perspective, I know we're busier. We have more officers assigned to it. And I think it's just overall like a bigger event.
Would you say, though, because Lieutenant, I mean, you guys deal with a lot of traffic, Dolphins games, a big sporting event, Super Bowl. People avoid things because of traffic. People right. ask me, you want to go to F1? I'm like, I just don't want to deal with the traffic. This was the third year. So do you guys learn from your experiences in the previous two where you really see everything getting better for people going?
Definitely, 100%. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that because we have our staff that meets with the Hard Rock Stadium staff, their parking people, their security people, and we have these meetings, and every year we learn just like that. I mean, F1 is very recent to Miami, and we've definitely learned and made so many improvements throughout the years, and the feedback that we got from the Hard Rock staff was that this year was by far the smoothest running. We had little to no incidents with the traffic or with any kind of incidents, period. So the answer is yes, we learn from it, we adjust, and we improve, definitely.
All right, maybe I'll have to go next year or the year after. If you guys are going to improve every year, soon enough. It's just that I'm driving on the turnpike, like I'm going to Hard Rock Hotel, and I see people parked right there off of the turnpike on those in those lots, you know, in the fields. And, Lieutenant, you see that, and then you think about having to do this long walk. It just seems like a disaster, but I guess, like you said, you guys are getting better with it.
No, it's somewhat organized. Depending on what area your seats are in, they assign you a lot to that. That's the closest to it, on, you know, most of the time, so that you can avoid that walk, because the track is obviously very long, and it can be a very long walk if you're not parked in the right spot. So we're very, you know, we try to, the Hard Rock does a good job of getting everybody their correct parking passes. And if not, if they get the shuttle services and they drop you off nearby to avoid all that. So it's like I said, it's the adjustments, and it's definitely getting better for all the guests.
A lot of people think troopers can go into Dunkin' Donuts or whatever coffee shop and just grab some free donuts. whether that's true or not, I don't know. Or the window at a gas station for a croqueta. But what about at F1? Were you guys able to get your hands on those $500 lobster rolls? Do they hook you up with those?
I saw the $200 nachos, I think it was.
Yeah. No freebies for the $200 nachos?
No, not at all. Actually, we don't go inside of the stadium grounds at all. Our footprint is outside mainly. For the traffic control, we have to man the traffic signals for the inbound pushes. We try to get them the green lights coming in to avoid the congestion. Same thing leaving out. But no, we don't go inside at all, Andy. And even if we were inside, I'm pretty sure the $200 nachos wouldn't be comped.
There's a Taco Bell right around there, isn't there? right off the County Line Road, maybe some free nachos.
Yes.
They're probably the same tasting, just not $200. Again, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, it's been a little, I don't want to jinx you, but say it's been a little quiet around South Florida recently. Now that I said that, unfortunately, that'll probably change. But I did see something on the news about the move over law. We have a lot of people on the road right now tuned in, Lieutenant. There's a new move over law. We may have touched on it a few months ago when it first came into place. But can you just remind everybody in case they need to move over right now?
Yeah, it's just an addition to the law, really. Again, it was first enacted for first responders, right? For police vehicles, fire trucks, utility vehicles, anybody providing those critical services on the side of the road, right? That's what the move over law was originally enacted for. So now it's just been, there's been an addition to it. And the addition just states that whenever there's a vehicle, any kind of vehicle that's on the side of the road with emergency signage, right? Whether their hazard lights are on, maybe their hood's open, maybe they have a flare out or one of those triangle kits, you know, for the reflections and stuff. Whenever you see that, you now have to move over for that vehicle, whether it's disabled or whether they're having some kind of medical emergency. You now have to move over for any of those vehicles that have emergency, you know, signage or warning. So what I would say to avoid, you know, juggling in your mind as a driver, when you have to move over, when you don't have to move over, the bottom line is, I would say this, the easiest way to remember is whenever you see any kind of car on the side of the road stopped, just move over a lane if you can. And if you can't, reduce your speed to 20 miles under the speed limit. It's just, first of all, it's the law. But more than anything, it's just a common courtesy now amongst all motorists on the road. So just whenever you see a vehicle on the side of that road, just move on over a lane or slow down.
What about the person who is on the side of the road? Because I've seen this a couple times recently, Lieutenant, where I'm traveling on the turnpike and I like the left lane because I'm passing people who are going too freaking slow. And somebody's in the left shoulder and they're almost near the line. They're checking their tire.
Yes.
If you think your tire's flat or it's going down, should you even like go out of your car and get near that lane to check it?
Again, no. I'll tell all your listeners, everybody driving out there, I'll tell you what I tell my wife when she's in the kid in the car with my kids. If you have a flat tire, do everything in your power to avoid pulling over. Number one, if you can make it to that next exit and get off the highway, even if it means riding that flat for a little bit, you know, get on the shoulder, put your hazard lights on, maybe go about 15 or 20 miles an hour and just ride that flat till the next exit. I understand some people are not going to be comfortable with that, but as far as safety is concerned, it's extremely dangerous to pull over and try to change a flat on the side of the road. We have road rangers for that. You call *347. We'll get a road ranger out there who will get, will assist you and will set up cones and will make it a safer area. But just try to avoid pulling over on the side of the road if you can. And if you have to stop, then turn on your flashers, call 347. We'll get you a road ranger. If you can get out of the vehicle and walk away from it, maybe get on the other side of that guardrail. Again, just in case somebody does run off the road and collide into your car, you're not inside of it, you're far from it, you're out of harm's way. That's just some of the tips I always give motorists.
Yeah, I cringe every time I see somebody on the side of the road just standing out there. And then you watch these NASCAR races or even F1 in a flat tire. I mean, they're going around the whole track a mile and a half at speeds, and you know, you just wait until you get into the pits with your flat tire. It can be done. Right. It can be done, yep. Lieutenant.
Yep, I agree. Some people don't feel comfortable with it, or some people have maybe a really expensive wheel or something. But I mean, what's a wheel when you're pulling over? I'm when you're on the side of the road and these cars are zooming by you, it's a scary place to be. Yep. A lot of people don't see it from that perspective, but I do, and it's a very scary place to be. And if you can avoid it at any cost, get off that highway, get into a safer area, and then deal with it.
You say it's scary, and you've got your lights on. I mean, you're in a patrol car, and it's still scary for you.
Exactly.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks for everything you do. I hope you have a safe and quiet week. Quiet is always good in your field, and we'll chat again next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Andy. See you.
All right, have a good one. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. That's all the time I've got for this Wednesday afternoon. Enjoy the hockey game tonight. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.